It happens in every industry. There is a myth, and then that myth becomes common knowledge. And then that common knowledge becomes reality. When in reality, it was a myth to begin with that wasn't even true. This happens in the nutrition field quite often, definitely more often than I like to think. That is why I want to tackle 5 of these nutrition myths in this webinar today. Why it's even more difficult in the nutrition world to conquer these myths is because our world is more confusing than some other worlds. And that's because nutrition research is constantly ongoing. It's not stopping, and we have to remember, we have to look at the old research plus the new research plus anecdotal evidence and your own individual life. Whenever I look at new research, and I always try to remain extremely open-minded to new research, because so often there are things that I have believed for years, I have read the research on, I have talked about to clients with, and then I'll read something new, and I have to be open-minded to take that information and begin applying it to not only my own life, but my clients' life. And the reason it's a little bit hard to do that for many people is because we have believed things for so long, and we've had these philosophies, and we've seen the research that backs something up. It's hard to switch gears. So my goal with the Nutritious Life and in providing people information is always look at the old research, look at anecdotal evidence, also be open-minded to new research and take a look at that new research, and then combine all of those things to come up with the best advice for the individual and people at large. The 5 things I'm going to discuss today are not all the nuts and bolts of all the research and every single side. There is a little bit more information about the research in the handouts associated with this webinar. But what I want to tell you here is really the net of what I tell people about these myths. Of course, we could battle it out. We could hash it out for hours with research on this side and research on this side. I am just here to tell you that as the founder of Nutritious Life, here's the deal with what I believe in and what I tell my clients. The first myth we are going to tackle today is that no or low carb diets are best for you and for weight loss. The principle of this theory is that if you don't eat carbs, your body will burn fat for energy. Well, guess what? Your body will burn fat for energy, but your body will also burn fat for energy if you have a small amount of carbs. You need a certain amount of carbs for your brain to function. Carbohydrates are the number one fuel source for your brain. You also need carbohydrates for energy for all your body functions. The problem is that people are completely confused about what low carb even means. It means 2 totally different things to many people. You have people on one hand that think low carb means no carbs. They are not getting carbohydrates from fruit. They won't even have a condiment that has the tiniest bit of carbohydrates in it. They are counting carbs closer than they're looking at their own bank accounts. Those people often are the people that, you know, have that kind of stinky breath. They've been doing Atkins for 25 years. Maybe they've maintained their weight loss, but they don't necessarily have a healthy heart. They probably don't have healthy looking skin. Their energy may not be good as well. On the other hand, you have people that say, oh, I eat low carb because they don't eat bread. People, carbohydrates are not just found in bread. Sometimes I take a look at their diets and I see that they are eating 2 yogurts a day that not only do you get the carbohydrates in the plain yogurt, but they also are sugar laden yogurts with fruit on the bottom. So they're getting yogurts, they're getting a whole lot of fruit, they're getting a lot of veggies, which by the way, veggies and fruit are healthy for you, but they don't understand that they're getting carbohydrates from these foods. And they think they're on a low carb diet and they're wondering why, just because they're not eating the bread and pasta anymore, they're not losing weight. I just described to you how you have people on low carb diets that basically get no carb diets and aren't healthy, and people that are not losing weight, not as healthy as they want, because they're on their own version of a low carb diet, which isn't healthy either. They may even be getting up to 70% of their calories from carbohydrates. So I don't like to talk about low carb at all. Remember, in the past 30 years, people have done low carb diets and they have done high carb diets. Both forms of dieting have created a nation of obese people. When I'm doing my intake, I'll have clients that say to me, oh, I don't eat bananas and I don't eat carrots. They're way too high in carbohydrates. And I'll look at them and say, but you eat a huge handful of M&Ms every afternoon. We did not become an obese nation because we are eating bananas and carrots. Go back to what makes sense and you probably know what you should and how you should be eating. Remember in the webinar where I told you about a third, a third, a third of macronutrients. I like people to get a nice balanced amount of carbohydrates, fat, and protein. The key is to get carbohydrates from the right places. Fruits, vegetables, a little dairy if you consume dairy, and even a little bit of whole grains. It just makes sense. If you are eating a whole real food diet loaded with healthy fats, fruit, vegetable, a little bit of dairy if you eat dairy, lean proteins, if you are eating these foods with even a little bit of whole grains, you are going to be a healthy person. You are going to reap all of the benefits from the types of carbohydrates that you need to be a healthy, energetic person and also lose weight or maintain your weight loss. The next myth I want to talk about is diet soda. I can't tell you how many people have almost literally pulled out their fists and started fighting me about the fact that diet soda has zero calories. So how can it possibly affect my diet? Isn't it calories in and calories out? No, it's not. Diet soda is one of those things that I say you should never have. There are not that many things that I have on my never list. Diet soda is one of them. Here's why. Diet soda is loaded with chemicals, all sorts of chemicals, but mostly artificial sweeteners. Artificial sweeteners are 200 to 700 times sweeter than sugar. When you consume that diet soda and you're consuming all of that sweetness, but no calories are following that sweetness, your brain and your belly is like, what is going on? Because sweetness signifies calories. And when those calories don't follow, your brain goes looking for them elsewhere. So that's why later in the day, you may be craving the jelly beans or the candy bar after lunch. That diet soda or artificial sweetener in your coffee may be affecting you a lot more than you think. And if you don't believe me, research shows that diet soda drinkers are more overweight than regular soda drinkers. And I am not telling you to go and drink regular soda loaded with sugar. Absolutely not. I'm just saying that I absolutely want you to stay away from the diet soda. The next myth is one of my personal favorites to dispel because this is how I lived my life in my 20s, certainly all through college. I ruined my day, so, you know, I might as well throw in the towel and eat everything in sight. I remember being in Boston, my hometown, going to Friendly's, ordering those crinkly fries and a cheeseburger and an ice cream sundae because I said my day was ruined and I am starting tomorrow. We've all been there. It is the absolute antithesis of how I want people to live a nutritious life. I like to tell people to think about every meal as a Monday morning. What I mean there is usually on Monday morning, regardless if you've eaten poorly or you've eaten well over the weekend, you start off with wonderful intentions and you might have that half a cup of oatmeal with a hard boiled egg, a cup of green tea. You are feeling good and ready to kick some butt for the week. If you could enter every single eating occasion as if it was its own unique individual opportunity to eat well, as if it was its own little Monday morning, I promise you, you will end up saving so many calories, but you will also end up feeling better and saving yourself so much mental anguish about, I'm eating well, I'm eating bad, I'm eating well, I'm eating bad. That is just a wrestling match going on in your brain with yourself. It is tiring to live that way. It also causes stress. That stress increases your cortisol, that stress hormone that causes you to not only crave the worst foods, but then gain weight in the worst place, your midsection. So I want to really relieve you of all of that mental anguish. I want you to remember that every meal is an individual opportunity. So the next time you have one of those moments where you say, oh, I ate so bad at brunch today, and you know, I just forget it. It's Saturday night, I'm going to this great dinner, and I might as well just start again on Monday. I want you to take a breather, and I want you to think, what is the best option at this restaurant tonight on Saturday night? What can I have? So even again, if you've eaten an ice cream sundae in the afternoon, that Saturday night at dinner doesn't have to be the ribeye and the mashed potatoes and the chocolate torte and three glasses of wine. It could still be, even if you're celebrating at a steakhouse that night, a piece of grilled salmon, a little sauteed spinach, and one glass of red wine. And guess what? The next morning, you're going to wake up not only feeling good because you don't feel like you have that heavy food hangover, you are going to feel so good about yourself that you took that meal as an individual opportunity to eat well. And you know what? Instead of sleeping in and then going for pancakes and bacon, you'll probably go for a run, have a large glass of water, and feel great about yourself. You might even get some action in bed that night. This next myth, I just love busting. I can't tell you how often people say to me, oh, I eat really well during the week, but then I have my cheat day on Saturday, or I have my cheat meal every Friday afternoon. People love the idea that they eat well and then they get to cheat. First of all, words like cheat, willpower, guilty, I do not like those words. I want to put them out of your vocabulary. Here's why. Planning a cheat day really goes against everything I believe in a nutritious life. Aside from the fact that just the word itself sounds really negative, it's another reason I don't like the term willpower. It's all negative energy. Who wants to walk around saying, I'm not going to eat that, and I'm never going to do that again? Bad energy. I want people to feel empowered doing good things for them. So we'll leave willpower aside. We'll talk about that later on. We're talking about cheat days. When you plan a cheat day, you may plan on eating great, and then Sunday morning, you may think to yourself, I'm going to have French toast and bacon and a chocolate chip muffin, and I'm also going to have an ice cream sundae. You may have all these things you want to eat. But guess what? You might wake up Sunday morning and feel amazing. Maybe it's a gorgeous day, and you might say, you know what? I want to go for a run. And then you go for a run, and you think to yourself, oh, well, I feel great, but it's my cheat day. I got to get in the bacon and the pancakes and the French toast, and I got to get that ice cream sundae, and because now I have to wait again a week to have it. Bad attitude. Don't plan on cheating. Plan on listening to your body and indulging when you really need to. I've talked to you in these webinars about cravings and about indulging in a conscious manner, and that's what I want you to do. Because you may just realize you go 3 weeks without cheating at all. Oh, and I just hate saying that word. It's a bad word altogether. Live your most nutritious life when you have a true craving, when you truly want to indulge in something. Indulge in a conscious manner, and you just may be surprised that it happens a lot less than all of those planned cheat days or meals that you used to have in the past. The last myth that I want to talk about today is skipping breakfast. Many people believe that if they skip breakfast, they'll save calories. I have clients come into my office all the time that say, I can't have breakfast. When I have breakfast, I'm then hungry around 11, and then I'm hungry for lunch. If I don't eat breakfast, I don't get hungry till 1 or 2. What I tell them is that is because your metabolism has slowed down. You need to eat breakfast to break the fast. Your body is fasting all throughout the night, and you need to break the fast with breakfast. Also, you need to lay the foundation for a good, healthy day. I always tell people that when you start your day without breakfast, it's like building a house without laying a foundation. You need to lay a solid foundation. I like people to get a breakfast that's got some fiber and some protein. You can check out the handouts associated with this webinar for lots of great examples. The fiber will help keep you full. The protein provides satiety. Also, you're going to get some good energy in there to give you the energy so that you can go about your day and think well and run well and be happy and just enjoy your nutritious life. There is tons of opposing research on this topic. Lots of research that says breakfast is good. Lots of research that says breakfast is not important for you. I'm a firm believer that taking all of this information into consideration, breakfast as being a way to break the fast, to provide you with energy, to provide you with some nutrients, and to prevent you from overeating later in the day, that you should eat breakfast really pretty much every single day. There are those few times where you might have an early workout, or you might be having a little bit of an early brunch and you can push it an hour and a half to 2 hours, but pretty much I want you to eat breakfast every single day. When you skip breakfast, not only do you not jumpstart your metabolism and lay that good foundation, but you also are much more likely to overeat later on. Oftentimes, the people that are the biggest nighttime eaters are the people that don't eat breakfast in the morning. This is because when they don't lay that good foundation and they don't give their body energy in the morning, by the end of the day, their body's trying to make up for it and they end up overconsuming. They also go into meals too hungry later on in the day. And what do you do when you're too hungry at a meal? You wolf down what's ever in front of you. So eat your breakfast, lay a good foundation, eat whole real foods for breakfast that are going to provide you with some fiber and some protein, and go conquer that day. I've busted these myths here today based on old research, new research, and actually how people live their lives. We have to always take the research and also apply it to an individual's life. New research is always coming out. It's the nutrition world. It's a new science, and I love reading that new research, and I am committed to being open-minded to new research. But I will always consider individual people's lives, how they live their lives, and also old research, and I urge you to do the same.